This is New Media Interchange. For more information on New Media Interchange and this show, visit newmediainterchange.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our session on New Media Interchange. And of course, what is New Media Interchange? New Media Interchange is a new group which I founded about 5 to 6 months ago in Los Angeles, where I'm from, for one particular reason. There is so much wasted talent in Los Angeles. My wife is a traditional media television writer, and having been exposed to that world of pitch, and never selling a script, we have lots of friends who are both writers, directors, all sorts of technical people who basically don't have a lot of work. And seeing new media, I've been podcasting I'm in my fifth year now, starting in September 2004. And I wanted to do something to try and bring not only those creative LA people into the whole new media world, but also I realized after holding a meeting up here in Sedona back in August that everybody can benefit from new media. You show me a person, you show me a business, I will show you a way that new media can affect their lives. It can help them personally, help them in their business, help promote their restaurant, whatever. And everything I've done as a computer consultant over the last 25 years has been based on education and translation. I'm basically, with most of my clients, I'm translating tech speak into normal human speech so they can actually use some of these tools. So New Media Interchange grew out of all of that. As I said, we've been meeting for the last 6 months in Los Angeles. We had the one meeting in Sedona here. And it's all about sharing, too. I share a lot of stuff on the website here. I'm doing a series of new media tips. This is actually me speaking at Bar Camp last week in LA about New Media Interchange. There are a series of tips on here that I started to do. We have a show called New Media Answers, which is basically one of our members who always had tons of questions at the meetings. I finally said, you know what, we should get this, we should podcast this. So we sat down once a week and record two or three shows where it's literally just, what's your most burning question? What do you want to know before you walk out the door? And I sat there and I answered as best as I can. And oftentimes we come up with better answers together. So that's the type of sharing that I do. I also have, you may notice we have a wiki set up for New Media Interchange as well. And the first thing I set up there was a skills bank. A place to go in and list what your skills are, regardless of what they may be, new media related or not. Are you a writer, a lighting designer, a director, whatever? So that if people had questions about writing or anything else, or podcasting or blogging, they had a ready-made list of people, other members that they could simply call upon and say, hey, you know, send them an email. What do you know about this? We also have a mailing list, so we can also carry those conversations on between the entire group. Now, one of the things that happened when I was here in August was Evo and I got talking, and Evo actually has a great blog post. Do you remember what you titled that? It was something like, Tech People Need Not Apply, or something like that.
Yeah.
And so what I'm going to do real quick is I'm going to trade the mic off to Evo, and we'll have let him say. Evo has graciously decided to step up and be the... decided to be the Phoenix, Tempe, Mesa, Chandler...
this area
for New Media Interchange here, and is actually going to start holding meetings. We're thinking of doing something in coordination with Gangplank as well, possibly. Or
unsure yet. I mean, that's kind of the agenda for today is Doug and I here chatting and getting ideas from you guys on how this actually might work. So we've got plenty of venues we can use. There's Gangplank Studios Gangplank headquarters in Chandler. We also have access to the jobbing.com center right smack dab in the middle of Phoenix. So venue's not an issue. We got Chino Bandito, you know, some great places like that.
Can I ask a basic question?
Please.
Is it .com or is it
yes.
.wordpress?
No, you know, go to newmediainterchange.com and okay, it reflects over to the site.
Right.
Yeah. So let's talk about, Doug talked for a little bit here about what it means in Los Angeles. And Douglas and I have known each other for a long time. He's been podcasting for about a month longer than I have. I started in October of 2004. And also, I've had about five of these energy drinks, so I'm a little... This is me all the time for the few people in here that know me. I'm a pretty amped up guy anyhow. So anyhow, as we were talking about this, I've been following what Douglas does, and I saw the opportunity to bring it also to Phoenix. while we do not have, you know, Hollywood out here as he does, we do have a lot of creative people. And Phoenix is a fantastic source that I've seen communities build. There's some great technology building that's taking place through the efforts of people like Gangplank, for example. But I'm not a technology guy. I am not a coder by any stretch of the imagination. There is a great group here called the Social Media Club, which some of you may know about, and it's a fantastic place to go find out about social media aspect, how to get on Facebook and how to become a better selling more real estate using Facebook and MySpace and Twitter and all the other things like that. But there wasn't a group, I didn't feel, that was really more focused on the media side as opposed to the social side. We had these tech people who know what's going on. We've got these social people who know what's going on. But when somebody wanted to raise their hand and say, how do I edit with Audacity? Or what's the best way to make Final Cut Express do this kind of stuff? There wasn't a group to go to ask that. And that's what Douglas has put together, and that's what I hope we can do here in Phoenix as well. That's the whole idea behind it. And I want it to be a very safe place to ask questions. So the blog post Douglas was talking about was something like, my friends can't come, or something like that. I forget what it was.
I think that's closer, yeah.
Because, you know, when the tech people and the social people get together who've been doing this for a long time, the Twitterati, as I refer to us, we talk a secret language that brand new people don't understand, and they're afraid to ask questions, so no fear. Yes, we do. We speak in really, really strange tongues, much of which you heard out as we did the initial thing, hashtags and Twitter, all that kind of stuff. So we're cutting through all of that stuff and making it very basic and simple, and hoping, after a few meetings, that we will have a viable community of people who can share ideas, the interchange part of this happening. Who knows where it goes? You know, we might come up with some fantastic web videos on this. Somebody may help somebody else write a script that eventually becomes an entire web series that goes on. Maybe there's a photographer out there who's looking for new ways to get involved with things like Flickr, who maybe they don't know what Flickr is and how that can be helpful. That's it. It's about the media aspect. So it's print, that's TV, that's movies, that's books, that's audio, whatever it happens to be is what we're going to be the creators of and sharing the ideas. Maybe a few experts from these different areas can come around, but the primary questions will be handled by the people that are new to the whole idea.
And I want to reiterate what Ivo said, friendliness. I work with a lot of people in my typical, you don't want that, in my typical consulting.
It's hard to do.
In my typical consulting work, I actually work with a lot of people between the ages of 50 and 90 in a lot of my work. Just happens to be the clientele that I have. So I'm all about making it friendly. You'll never hear from me, that's a stupid question. You'll never hear from me, oh my God, I can't believe you don't know how to send a hashtag via Twitter. Because oftentimes what happens, and you wouldn't think it, but the creative people in L.A.,
yeah,
know everything about their little wedge of the business, but when technology gets thrown in, they're as scared as everybody else. And they're doubly scared because they see their jobs disappearing. They're having, I did a panel discussion with my wife and several other people at the Writers Guild of America a couple months ago, and they entitled it Breaking In Again. Because a lot of them feel that just like they broke into the industry the first time, they're having to do it all over again.
And that was a wonderful discussion that you had. That's not this panel,
no,
but it's still on the on the website. It's an hour's long worth of audio, and it's fantastic to understand these people who can actually make this stuff. I mean, they're writers, they're producers, but when they comes to the web, they go, I don't know. Because they're used to the Hollywood machine that is, if you're a script writer, a screenplay writer, write your screenplay, submit it to somebody, and then hands off, we'll take it from there.
You beg, actually.
Well, yeah, but you really can't get involved with the process. You don't write the screenplay and then go out and find the photography for it and find your videographer and find the actors and all that, which is what happens inside a new media, right? We get to do it all, or perhaps more importantly, we go out to find the people to help with it. That's probably the wiser choice than going it alone. I do a lot of different projects. I have many different podcasts I do. I run a website called podiobooks.com where we're helping authors create their own serialized audiobooks, and they do the majority of the work. And I don't do any of it by myself. I'm a big fan of collaborating. Everything I've done has been through collaboration with people, and know that can really work. So hopefully, we're putting people together that can collaborate.
One of the most things that struck me at the Writers Guild meeting is after we did the panel, we did a little hands-on thing, and I simply went through and said, I called it From Camera to YouTube. And I took my little digital still camera, and I took a little video. We had a couple actors there, actually. They had wanted to do something bigger, but we couldn't. So I brought, they had two actors. So I said, okay, do your little scene. Did a couple shots of scene, brought it down, threw it together really quickly, and then uploaded it to YouTube. And when I got it to YouTube and brought it to YouTube, I just hit play, and it played there was an audible sound in the room, which was, oh. And I was like, these people deal with hundreds, thousands of millions of dollars of production equipment.
Right.
And that to them was something they desperately needed to know.
Wow.
Because the fact is, $1 million budgets, $2 million budgets, $50 million budgets are going away. The world is changing. The media industry is changing. And basically, there are creative people everywhere. Not, you know, in LA, it happens to be this film industry stuff. But every time I come to Phoenix, I am so amazed at the energy that is here. I get called out to Friday Coffee. I get called out to Gangplank. I Twittered that I was here last time in August, and I had 4 messages back within 3 minutes saying, oh, you got to come out here tonight. You got to come see this. Every time I come here, I meet such great people. The reason I'm here today is because I had such a great time last PodCamp, and I met so many neat people that over this entire year, I've been communicating with those people the whole year now, and so I was chomping at the bit to come back.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, is there anybody in here that's not from the Phoenix area primarily? Anybody from out of town? Right? Okay, this is not all about Phoenix.
You're a chapter head. You're a chapter head.
That's how it gets started. I mean, it's taking the ideas and spreading this thing around. There's no fees. There's, I mean, I don't know. You started the whole thing.
Yeah,
you want
no,
any of that?
Not,
you didn't tell me I've got to pay you anything yet, so we're good. We're covered.
Oh, you'll pay. No, I believe that certain base levels of information should be free. I'm actually working with my sister in the Palm Desert, Palm Springs area, and some other people to develop more intensive half-day, full-day workshops, which are, you know, kind of a pay product for people who really want to dive in and learn everything there is to know about Facebook, everything there is to learn about podcasting, such and such. But everything we do through New Media Interchange is designed to be open and free. Frankly, I'm seeing a bad change in the unconference world myself, that of charging. Frankly, I think unconferences should be free, like PodCamp is, thanks to the sponsors who make it all possible, and all of you. So I apply those same types of ideas to New Media Interchange. Now, something we do at pretty much every New Media Interchange meeting is we either do introductions, and or I ask this question, and I sort of already asked it once before. What is the most burning new media question that you have, that you would love to have answered before you walk out the door? And what could I do, what can I answer for you today, what could either of us answer for you today that would get you podcasting, streaming, video sharing, whatever, maybe even today?
So you're going to ask that as a real live question now. Does anybody, I mean, is there, yes, start back.
Equipment. What would you recommend as your base level equipment?
What do you want to do first off, to do what?
Podcast.
Did you create an audio podcast?
Yes.
You just want to make sure we break it down and understand it. The nice thing about audio podcasting, I wrote the book Podcasting for Dummies with my co-author T. Morris back in 2005, and there's a new version of that now available as well. So podcasting with audio is simple. You really have everything you need to do it right now without having to go buy anything, assuming you have a computer with a built-in microphone, and most laptops actually have those today. So that is the only equipment you need to really get started with it. You do not need to go out and spend $500 on a microphone and a mixer board and all the other stuff that's necessary.
I'll reinforce it even more. You should not go out and spend $500 on a microphone or a mixing board and everything else.
Not to start. Get in, do it, and have a lot of fun with, you know, if you want to spend any money to get a little bit better, if you don't have a microphone for your computer, go to Fry's Electronics. They're not sponsoring, but that's the best place to get this kind of stuff. And go get a USB headset. Got a speaker, got a microphone plug, jack in, and that's it. Software-wise, you have free tools available to you. There's a tool called Audacity, which is probably, if you had to guess what percentage of podcasters are still using Audacity, would it be more than 50%? Less 50% and 20%. Where would you put it in that
over
range?
Over 50% on the Windows side, under 50 on the Mac.
Yeah, so about half the people that are podcasting still. It's been 4 or 5 years. I still use Audacity. It's a free editing program. You know, it
I
just
do
simply
most of my
does
stuff on a Mac, and so therefore I use GarageBand.
Which works as well.
I use GarageBand since I started, and I'm really familiar with it. And you'll see me struggling in my session tomorrow where I have to use Audacity to do what I'm doing. But the fact is, Audacity is a great tool that you can grab. It's audacity.sourceforge.net is the URL to get it. You'll also, I believe, find links on the wiki. I'm starting to link in software and stuff like that on the wiki. You really don't need anything else. I mean, it's amazing these days that we can do what our computers would have taken tens of thousands of dollars to do with just a few years ago.
When I started with a hand-me-down DJ mixer and an SM58 microphone.
Solid microphone. Can't go bad with that at all.
Yeah. Next question.
Very simple. Yes, sir.
I'm about to get hired by an institute at ASU to basically manage social media.
Wait a minute. There are jobs out there available? Really?
Can I tell you?
I'm actually getting a paycheck for doing this stuff.
But they haven't hired you yet, right? Can I get the name? No, I'm kidding. kidding.
And basically what they want to do is create sort of a global discourse community around a particular issue. How can I go from broadcasting a bunch of stuff to actually getting a community going and talking to each other?
The quickest, well, one of the ways you can reach out immediately, and actually it's one of the ways I recommend podcasters get started, because we can be a little reticent to sit around talking to ourselves.
Yes.
One of the best things to do, interview. You go out, you sit down, and you interview. And I'll teach you the first rule of interviewing, if no one's ever told you this. You ask the question, and then you shut up.
Yeah, that's hard for some
of us. Listen to interviews and see how many people break that rule, okay? But definitely, I find interviews are also great for another reason, is what happens when you interview someone and you put it up? What do they do?
Tell all their friends.
Yep. All of a sudden, you've got an audience because they tell two friends and they tell two friends. So in getting started in something like that, I think you're going to have to get the discourse going. But then you could also, like, if this isn't true podcasting, but you could also start to bridge in other new media like Seismic, the video chat, video Twitter service, basically. There's 12 Seconds. There's iChat. There's all these new video messaging services that you could basically make a group and say, here's our group for this real life group, and have this ongoing video conversation amongst you all as well.
I'll add to that on the interview process. I got started doing interviews as well. When I got involved with internet radio back in 2002, I was on a show that interviewed authors, was our primary shtick, and then we would chat around behind that. That quickly spiraled out of control into something less. But nonetheless, it was a lot about interviewing people. There's two ways you can do interviews. You can do a real face-to-face interview with them, and Douglas and I are sharing, or actually I'm hogging it right now. This little thing here called an iRiver. Is this
$7.95?
This is the iRiver $7.95. You have to get them on eBay, but they're fantastic, and it's a great little recording tool. We're using a lavalier microphone, but you could just set this on a desk in front of you and get a quiet room somewhere and hit play or hit record. You'd be amazed at how great the quality of this is. If you're buying a little small digital recorder, be careful. The ones that you can buy at Staples and other places like that are really low quality.
If it says voice recorder on it, if it's designed for taking personal notes,
you don't want that.
You don't want it. You want something above that. This is amazing because in several ways. One, it has external mic input, so we can plug the lavs in. I can plug a bigger mic, a handheld microphone in. It records up to 8 hours of audio. It's 128 meg. It records an MP3.
Yeah. And you can pick this up for $70-$80 on eBay. You know, they're really inexpensive.
iRiver IFP
$7.95.
Yeah. Now, granted, they don't make them more, and the current iRiver products, unfortunately, don't have recording anymore. Yeah. But to go, if you want to step up for something like you, where you're going to get paid for it, one of the first things you do with the budget item is you go, I want a Zoom H2, and I want an Editorial R9 or
just a Zoom.
Like
yeah, that. Yeah. The new hot is called the Zoom Zoom H2 or the H4. Very simple, small, portable audio recorders that
records
do
the memory cards, so they're real easy to bring into your computer. New Media Answers. New Media Answers is actually recorded with an H2 sitting H2. Between us on a stool in a dampened room, but it's just.
What's the H2 going for? A couple hundred bucks?
A couple hundred bucks.
Right.
What's that?
$179,
he says. Right. Can
Amazon
I hear?
Code, yeah.
160. So I'm going to get to you in a quick second here. But the second thing about that is that's a live face-to-face interview. But that's kind of hard to do, right? You know, Chris Perillo's walking around here. If I want to interview Chris, I'm not going to go to Seattle. Is that where he's at? Oregon? Somewhere up there? I don't care. Yeah. I'm not going to go there. But through the magic of internet telephony, Skype. Does anybody not know what Skype is? All right. So Skype allows you to record conversations from Skype to Skype, or even a landline. I can use Skype and I can call some author at his house. He picks up. Skype's got it. You have to get some piece of software called Pamela if you're on a Windows system, and you need to use something else if you're on a Mac.
My session tomorrow afternoon is on doing a high quality, what's called a tape sync or a double ender interview. I'm actually going to sit down and do a short one with my buddy that I do one with every week,
it's a system whereby each of you records your end of the conversation, and then it's just reassembled in the edit. Mm-hmm. And if you have high quality on your end, I have high quality on mine, you may be talking over a phone line or over Skype,
yep.
but the recording is full quality. It's like you're sitting in the studio.
Yeah, there are plenty of great ways to do it, and you don't need to go to a studio somewhere. You don't need to go to a radio station and have stuff done. You just, it does it all simply. Yes?
I'm sorry, on the Mac, what's some of the software you'd recommend for recording calls?
Recording calls on a Mac, I use Audio Hijack Pro. There is, and with via Skype, there is a new tool that, not TechSmith, who's the other one? They have a soundboard. What?
Gizmo?
I think Gizmo Project will replace Skype, and it's got recording built in, right? But there's another tool.
While you're thinking that,
Audio Hijack Pro.
What I do is actually really, really old school, because I started it before any of this software was available, so I tend to do things with Bailingware inductive sometimes. Literally, I'll use my iRipper. And then just run the feed off the board into the iRiver
yep.
or into my laptop and record with Audacity.
Yeah.
So it doesn't record it. It doesn't actually, if you have some way of getting audio out, it actually doesn't require anything special. These programs make it easier, basically, to do. But you can just use your standard recorder as long as you have a way of getting the audio, the mixed audio, out and into some sort of recording device.
I use a lot of the call recorders on Skype, and there's always a hollowness to it.
Well, again, you're getting that Skype sound, too. Skype these days sounds, to me, better than a phone call. But if you don't have a good connection, it can sound
yeah.
really lousy.
You are relying IP. I mean, yeah.
Which is why the double ender gets rid of that problem. You can use Skype to talk back and forth, but you're not recording the Skype call.
When you're working with someone, are you talking, when you're recording these calls on Skype and notice the hollowness,
right.
is the person on the other end technically savvy or not at all?
Very
rarely. Because it requires a little bit of technical savviness to do his double ender trick. And it's not his double ender trick. Hell, we've been doing it for 5 years. It's really, really simple.
Oh, it's been around since, literally vinyl records from radio stations. I mean, from the early days.
Wow.
Before tape.
Back in the day. But you may want to try, some of it could be your connection. I doubt it's your recording software. It's probably the fact that you've just got a Skype connection that's sometimes poor. Have you tried to do Skype out where you call them?
No, I haven't done that with Skype out. For live calls, I've used TalkShoe.
Okay, TalkShoe. Does Blog Talk have something as well?
Yeah, but Blog Talk and TalkShoe, the quality for me, I've really been disappointed with it. It's
yeah.
actually less than phone quality in some
that's
cases.
That's
now,
what I've experienced.
With Skype,
yeah.
if you're getting a hollow sound, and we don't want to get too deep into this, but Doug Kay at IT Conversations and Paul Figiani, audio guy extraordinaire over there, never would use Skype to record their interviews because they do a lot of interviews. Recently, though, they've made some changes in Skype where you can actually set it up so you get a direct connection from your computer to their computer over the internet. And it jumps the quality up dramatically, and to the point where even these guys who are fussy, they are some of the fussiest people I know about audio quality.
Yeah, Doug Kay's
they
tough.
Will use Skype record. I would definitely go to IT Conversations, look at the blog. I'll actually have a link in my session tomorrow, but
you
see me later.
One. I have it.
Oh, if you have it, yeah. Melissa has it here.
Slideshare.net/DK. That's /Skype-4-interview.
Yeah, go to the blog.
Or
get her to email it to you.
Yeah.
But what they explain, and you turn on the technical information, and you'll see relays, the relays number, which typically says 4, will now say 0.
No hops, huh?
And,
wow.
It also deals with a thing we call lag, but that's a tech thing we'll deal with tomorrow.
Right.
Next question.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I do a lot of interviewing, for corporate clients. Qualitative interviewing, focus groups, etc., and I'm doing more and more online. What I want is something along the lines of iChat, where I can record and I can also save on my hard drive, but it's cross-platform, and the person on the other end can be absolutely, non-savvy. So, got any suggestions? I've tried Yuzu.
How do you normally interview them? What technology is in? What phone call or how are you normally talking?
Well, basically we've been moving from doing telephone calls where actually I use a little Olympus recorder and then there's this gizmo from Radio Shack and then I just save it as a WAV file.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've been doing with the audio, but I want to move to video and I'm trying to sort of experiment with all these different platforms.
Well, geez, TechSmith is here.
Yeah, yeah. Video brings up new challenges obviously because audio that's simple enough to
yeah.
do, but
you can use TechSmith's Camtasia product, and
Camtasia.
I've actually done this. It's a screen recorder product. It's designed. I actually won a free copy last year.
Yes.
Camtasia. Okay. It's designed for doing screencasts, which are literally, you know, recording demos of using software on the screen. But it will also effectively work for recording a video, an iChat call, or a. I will say you want a cross platform. This is PC only. But there are other things on the Mac.
I'm on Mac, and I need to be cross platform.
Well, so yeah. If you're on Mac, I use iShowU.
Right.
And there are other screen capture programs that do that.
Well, that also
you need to way around and just use Parallels. That's what I do. I do all my screencasts and screen capture from Parallels.
Mm-hmm. But like you
every time you run PC Windows on a Mac,
but let me ask this question. Are you trying to capture your video and their video together and combine them?
Because basically clients are also going to be watching this.
Right.
So the way iChat is, you've got to...
Yeah, iChat will allow you to do that. It'll put both of them up there.
It looks good, but I tried it, and basically the audio quality is so bad, and it's cutting. It's, you know, basically cutting in and out a lot.
Ooh, I find is also really effective about the speed of your machine. Mm-hmm. So if you have anything but like the top of the line, it tends to, especially if you get more people in it. Basically anything for recording the video, anything that will record the Mac screen, like iShowU or on a PC, Camtasia, those movies can then be saved out as standard QuickTime, MP4, whatever at the end product. So they'll play on pretty much anything.
Right.
What it does is it snaps a screenshot every so many times a second. And you can record the audio and then you just put them back together and output a completed movie.
And what you may want to do with that is just simply capture the video with one program and output your audio stream into a device, something like this, or maybe even your Olympus if it's got a high enough quality. But those Olympus tend to have a really low bit rate, which is how often...
That's what I said about voice recorders.
They don't work quite as well. But, you know, something like this or that Zoom would actually capture a better piece of audio that's going through it.
There's a new one from Mac called Screen Club.
Okay.
And they're the guys that do a boatload of high-end encoding.
Yeah.
Codecs.
Excellent.
Every time in Final Cut Pro, so it's supposedly a great review.
Outstanding.
We have a question over here.
Yeah, of the video chat services, which one, in your experience, yields the highest quality? I had a client a while ago that wanted to do a remote interview, and of all the video chat programs, none of them really gave high enough quality to, you know, use in a final presentation. So is any of them out there where, you know, for a business type application, which is going to go on a final presentation, that you could actually do a remote video?
My favorite one is Skype. I mean, Skype has served me fairly well. Now, the trouble with anything you do, you're sometimes we kind of blame the messenger,
if you have three
blame the software. And in reality, it's our connections or their connections.
Or it's the camera. I mean, there's three fail points there. How quickly is it encoding? What's the quality of the camera that's being used? And am I connected, you know, at a decent speed? And are they connected at a decent speed? So there's lots of fail points, along the process of this when you're talking about VoIP work.
Yeah, if I plug this in and use it as my webcam, I get much higher quality than if I plug in a standard $30 Logitech, $100 web Logitech.
And of course, like you mentioned earlier, that there's a level of technical sophistication that comes with that, the person on the other end.
Someone's going to have to get Skype installed for them, you know, on the other end. So, yeah. But yeah, Skype, I actually do with my clients, my day-to-day computing consulting clients, I do a lot of grandparents talking to their grandkids.
What resolution will Skype go up to?
It's beyond 640 now if you crank it up, but typically 640 is 4x480 is like what most normal people would use.
Which is fine, but if you're talking about a presentation where you want, you know, almost HD quality, you got limitations.
HD, but definitely SD, you know, I mean full frame SD. You know?
Right, and you're trying to do that with webcams, and that's just hard.
Highly compressed, obviously.
Yeah, you're dealing with that. You know, it's like when I watch YouTube videos on my 39-inch television. You know, it's like wow, big squares. That's one pixel, and it's this big. You know, it's really, really terrible.
Are you guys familiar with Persony? Am I saying it right? Person with a Y on the end. Are you familiar with
Nope.
I must say no.
It's
we are not.
It's business video conferencing. You don't know.
The trouble with anything labeled business.
Person with a Y.
Anything labeled business, dollar signs. They're
probably going to charge.
Yeah. It's actually quite cheap, but I just wondered if anyone had used it.
No,
I don't think anybody has. Any question?
My question was, how do I take my existing website and put a place on there where I can have play videos? If people go to the website and they want to just look at this.
Like this?
The first thing you do, new media prescription number one, which is actually one of the posts on the blog here. New media prescription number one is get a blog. The blog is the foundation for everything. And you'll hear this later this afternoon. The blog is the foundation for everything that comes after, because it gives us a release mechanism where we can easily say, here's the embed code, put it in a post, send, it's published, the new stuff appears at the top, it builds our RSS feeds automatically for us, so now we have a subscription mechanism so people can subscribe to your show, and pretty much anything you want to release, video or audio, can be just posted as a blog post with the description. And you go on from there.
Now, the alternate to that, that is the right solution. Do not get me wrong at all. But if your current website doesn't have a blog or any sort of content management system today, my first question to you is, can you go in and edit the source code of your web page?
Not really. I don't really know how to do that.
Then what he said is true. If you have access to that, what happens when you put a video up on Blip TV, YouTube, or any of the other dozens of video hosting services, is they will give you what's known as an embed code. It's a small block of text. You can tell exactly what it's like. You will copy that, and you will paste that. And your only two choices are paste it simply into your blog, because you can make a brand new post and it'll scroll down the page. Like if Doug wanted to put a copy of this up, he would just go make a title, type a name into it, put a description, and then drop the embed code from this video, and all of these things would slide down, have a brand new one right there at the top. If he doesn't have that option, like say he wanted to put it somewhere on a deeper page, he would actually go edit the code on that page and then paste it in wherever it happened to be. That takes more technical skill to do the posting of the page, but if you don't have a blog set up, it's really your only other option.
The trouble is with most websites is they were never designed to ever be changed. I will say that's one.
Yeah, that's true. At least not by you, right?
That's one complaint I have with designers. I love designers. I think they do wonderful work. But if they don't build in a way to easily update that site, you are dead in the water. And I am not a web designer, but I cannot even count the number of times I have gone in and added a blog to someone's website. Because it's the only way that they themselves could cut and paste. I have a restaurateur friend. He changes his menu. You know, it's a fine dining center. He changes his menu weekly, at least.
And
oh, peaches are in season. Oh, and he has to have a way that he can go in, write something up, or cut and paste it in from his word processor and say, post, and it's there. I often set up sites like this one. This is actually on WordPress.com, which is a free blog hosting service. I decided to use it for New Media Change, at least to get it started, just to have something up. But the fact is, I have set up some people, and I call it function over form. Yes, it's not as pretty as a personally designed website would be for you, but guess what? It's functional.
Yeah, and if you have a designer, if you have a friend of yours a designer or who knows what they're doing, you can take this the same core software Douglas used to make this to make the fanciest websites out there. If you go to the podcampaz.org website, same software. Same basic core. This looks like a blog. Podcampaz.org does not look like a blog.
It has a definite front page of fit.
Right. We had Brent Spohr, who knows how to develop and design all this kind of stuff. Right. But the process to update it is exactly the same. When it's all done, doesn't matter.
First go to the right, then we'll come over to you.
I guess he's kind of a little sidetracked. But is there an open source alternative that you would like to Audacity, but for video, on the video side of it?
No. No,
yeah, that's a short answer.
And frankly, on the Windows side, Vegas Video is about the best I can recommend. That's a pay. It's one of the least expensive ones. But Windows Movie Maker used to kind of get us by, but these days, even that's not really getting us by.
You know, for people who want to get into video,
How many people here are students or have someone in their family with a student ID, though?
Yeah, okay.
Go to the college bookstore. I got Final Cut Express for $69 because my wife is a student.
If you want to experiment with video and you own a Macintosh system, you've ever got everything you need right there. You know, iMovie will do it. Most of the videos you see from Macintosh do with iMovie. I have Final Cut Express, and it allows me to do a whole lot more. And then there's Final Cut Pro, which lives on top of that. But I don't know how to use either of those two things. I find myself going back to iMovie because it was made for someone with my level of skill in video, which is almost none.
This was done in iMovie.
Yeah, it's the simple way to. So if you're Mac, you're all set up. I don't know. Does Windows have a quick grab and?
Windows Movie Maker comes, but it's not working for me anymore.
It has issues with codecs.
It
crashes all the time. If you're not careful, it pick up one of the big codec packs. I've found that it would kill it, and after I knocked a lot of the extra codecs off, it would stop crashing.
I'm actually going to have to, because I use my PC laptop to do demos, I'm actually going to have to go get Vegas just so I can do some video demos, because I was able to kind of use it before, but not anymore.
What about the online resources? With you know all these cloud computing style video editing software.
I don't know of a cloud computing video editor yet. Is there one?
I used one the other day, but I went out of business right after I used it.
I don't know if it was me or...
No, seriously, I did use one. Horribly clunky.
So should we define cloud computing? Does anybody not know what that means? Somebody want to know what cloud computing, like Google Documents, Gmail? I keep using Google examples. Give me a non-Google example, someone. What was that?
Mobile Me,
okay, right? Yeah, there's a variety of these things, right? It's where you the software doesn't live on your desktop. It lives somewhere out there on the internet, and you go and you know upload a video and do the editing in there, or Picnic. There we go. That's a good photo editing service. You don't have to have the editing software on your side. That's pretty much what it is. We had the question on the side, I think. Oh, you want to follow up?
Video.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
As far as video on the PC, low end, I would not go Vegas.
No,
I'm very anti-Vegas. It was an application that Sony picked up from Acid, that company. I forget what they're called.
What do you recommend?
Premiere Elements.
Which is funny because Premiere was the first video editor I ever learned how to use on a Mac 2 CI or something like that. But yeah, I had heard that before.
Elements. Yeah, I think they have a $99 version or something like that, and it does everything you need.
Rock and roll.
Yeah. Outstanding.
It supports all the codecs, you know, and all that.
Right.
Stuff. Any other questions?
We're all wide open. So if no more questions, and feel free to interrupt me with this. Show of hands if we can do that from the people who are in Phoenix. Who would actually attend one of these? Do we do this monthly, weekly, whatever? So let's know who would do this once a quarter. So get together and do this, right? All right. Who would do it once a month?
We've got some new people in the room. What are we?
We're talking about getting to. We're talking about. Thank you. Appreciate that. We're talking about getting together to do this new media interchange, safe place for people to say, how do I record a video? Okay. How do I upload a podcast? How do I get my blog set up? All these questions about new media. It's not a social media thing. Not how do I get my PHP hacks to do this kind of stuff. None of that. Basic, easy, simple to understand, people sharing and collaborating and then working on projects together. How often do we do that? There was a lot of people who said quarterly sounds like a great idea. Monthly is too often? How about weekly? Okay, good. I know where to go. I know where to go with that. Right.
That's Phoenix Friday Coffee.
Yeah, right. We do that. Or not a Phoenix Friday Coffee. No, that's a East Valley Friday Nights. Right. What's that? Don't know. I mean, that's the question. I think what we're going to wind up doing is we'll do some sort of a mailing list or collaboration, and probably the wiki that's up here will help with some of this.
We have the wiki. We have the mailing list already set up. There's already a page set up for the Phoenix group that you can start populating yourself in your own little world. We can spin off a Phoenix-only mailing list if we want to. So you can be. We can have like the global list, and then we can have the chapter list, so you can add your own little list here. Again, free tools, cloud computing. We can do whatever we want to do.
On the mailing list, are we asking where people are? Or are they doing all global?
They can add it, but it's just a global list right now.
All right, so I would suggest that anybody's interested in doing this more often, go to this website, newmediainterchange.com, sign up for the mailing list, and then in the next... I'm booked through the middle of November, so after that, Douglas knows how crazy I've been. After that, we'll start the process of where do we meet? You know, let's find out geographically where a nice center spot would be. Is it the center of Phoenix or down in Chandler where I live, please? whatever. You know, we'll make it work and we'll make it happen.
But bring your questions because that's what it's all about. Here.
And bring your friends. I mean, bring the person who you've been trying to talk to about certain problems that knows nothing about it. You know, we want this to be as large of a meeting and friendly and energetic, you know, but leave your techno geek friends at home because they're just going to confuse people more than anything.
I have one more question for
you. Yes, please.
What do you think about doing an audio version of a blog post?
You're talking about on...
not necessarily a podcast per se, maybe it is, but going through and basically you write up your conventional post and then just recording an audio version of it and putting that up there.
You're talking about audio blogging, which was the precursor to podcasting, right? Pretty common. Less common nowadays because usually what happens is what I've seen some people do with it, and you can do whatever you want, right? It's most people will put their daily blog post out there, and then at the end of the week, they'll do a summary and put that out as an audio post. To me personally, if you're putting out an audio post, you're podcasting because I'm going to subscribe with an RSS feed and get it, and I probably won't go back and read your blog.
And if you haven't checked out Utterly, check it out because you can record from cell phone or whatever. Honestly, what I do for my biggest podcast is a weekly column called Career Opportunities. It was a print column. I started podcasting as soon as podcasting came out. It is basically a read of my weekly column. Okay, so you could kind of think of the same way. Now, the interesting thing that happened to me, I figured when I started podcasting, oh, this is just another way for my readers to get this content.
Right.
I quickly found out there are readers and there are listeners, mm-hmm. and very little crossover. So what I tell people, you can actually increase your audience dramatically because you're just going to reach a whole new audience you never reached before because it's audio. They can listen in their car, they can listen on the bike, on the treadmill, whatever.
You also find there's an audience, and we could talk about the four corners or the four pillars, whichever you like. I'm using corners of new media. You use pillars.
Actually, that's just because of your geographical location.
I know, exactly. You know, and there's not only audio and video podcasts, but there's also live streaming. You know, there's a lot of that takes place of, and then obviously, taking your bits of information and posting them, scattering them around the video sharing sites, like a YouTube or like a Last FM.
Exactly this topic about it's, the title of the talk is More Than Podcasting. The fact is, I'm a podcaster, tried and true, been doing it since the beginning, but there are so many more ways now of reaching out to your audience, and more technologies and more textual ways and everything else that. There's just this wealth of opportunity out there. And frankly, I try out every new service I see.
Right.
I may not figure out how it fits in my workflow, but I'm going to try it out. Because every service I try, I meet two or three people I've never met before. And that to me is like, okay, that paid for it. Mm-hmm. That paid for my hour to set up my account and my profile.
And I'm going to go to Doug's session because I have to go to the National Association of Realtors in Florida next weekend, and I need something to talk about. So I'm going to take.
How are you going to talk over all that weeping?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly right.
Kleenex on every day.
I don't really know what that's going to be like. So.
Any other last questions?
I have one.
Please.
Yes. We do an audio podcast. Mm-hmm. Like I said before, there are all different kinds of services that will do video for you.
Yes.
Are there any services, we record our audio podcast, we use TalkShoe because we can take callers.
Okay.
But I don't really want to host it on TalkShoe. I'd like to be able to host it where we can put our own advertisements in.
Sure.
Is there a service that will let you do that?
So the reason you use TalkShoe, if I understood what you said, is because you want people to be able to call in to you,
yes.
Right? Do they call in to you live, or are they pre-set up to do that? It's during a live presentation, right? So Blog Talk Radio is another option. You can do the exact same. Right, you can do that. And the nice thing is they will give you the audio file to allow you to do whatever else you want to with it. TalkShoe will kick out an audio file as well?
Basically,
right.
You just want to host the files on your own website.
Yeah, or you want to get an account with Libsyn, or you want to get an account with Blueberry, or one of the other file hosting softwares. Libsyn or Blueberry will allow you to do that. And the other thing with both of those companies, they do have the opportunity to give you potentially, I have to say it that way because it happens rarely, to podcasters who can have sponsors on them as well. You know, they go represent lots of people inside of their networks and say, hey, here's your opportunity. What's that?
Blueberries,
yeah, Blueberries is, they're here, sponsorship. Yep, yep, so.
Are you guys dropping advertising? Are you guys
not dropping?
Not dropping, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically, all these services will give you your final audio.
Just host it on your own.
You can put it, upload it to your own website, your own Libsyn account, whatever, and then link your blog post there.
Just like you said with video, if you're hosting a video, like a video a day on your site, man, that needs
a That's why you need.
Let's talk another sponsor.
Yeah. Who's that?
Blip TV!
Yeah.
Right here on our name badges. I use Blip for one important reason. One, I didn't want to host. This is a 326 megabyte video file, okay? Because this is a 45 minute talk. Blip, if you upload an M4V file, iPod ready file, they'll make the one touch player, they'll give you the embed, and they'll also serve up the M4V. Just link to it in your podcast feed, and they handle it and serve it up, and you don't have to worry about it.
If you're podcasting, creating video, you need to make sure you're using a host that gives you unmetered bandwidth. You do not want to be paying by the drip. Yeah, you got to get off of that. You guys don't charge for bandwidth either at Blueberry, right? Yeah, Blueberry.
That's another reason you use something like Blip, because it's basically unmetered. Yeah. They allow me to put a huge file. I don't know of any other, I'm sure there are, but I don't know any other site that allows me to put up 300 megabyte.
I don't know.
Video files.
It seems ironic that video, you can host video in dozens of places.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like that with audio.
No, that was the big failing. We screwed up back in 2004 as audio podcasters. I'm going to talk about that today in my session, 5 Reasons Why Your Podcast Sucks. We made a mistake thinking we needed to be able to control the downloads and know exactly what's happening, as opposed to video people who said, well, there's YouTube and there's Blip TV and there's, and boom, it went off, and gee, which one's everybody watching as opposed to which one's everybody listening to?
I actually use a service that puts my videos on 15 different sites with one upload.
Yeah, but we don't do that on audio, and that's a mistake. There's not really good an audio sharing site. Maybe we can make Last.fm that way. I don't really know.
There is now one.
What?
It's in beta, alpha beta, and it's through Doug Key and IT Conversations, spokenword.org.
Probably. Really? Spoken word? I'll have to check it out.
Because I was looking for the same thing. There was not a YouTube for audio.
Right.
But this site, through the IT Conversations guy, just got set up. And you can set up playlists and everything else.
I think we can make Last.fm do it as well. Which is more music right now, but I think I'm playing with it and trying to make it work out that way.
What about your rights, if you're using them to host, what are your rights? Do you still follow your contract?
Yes. What? You, obviously, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know why we have to say that every time, but we do.
Everyone obviously knows we're not lawyers.
I know. Everybody does. The way it usually works, and I have to say usually here, is when you upload to these services, you do give them some rights, but they tend to be non-exclusive worldwide licenses. So when you put it up there, that's theirs to do whatever they want to, but just that file. The original is yours to do whatever else you want to. So there's not any exclusivity where you can't put it in other places to do whatever else you want
and
to
you
with it.
You can actually mark, I know in Blip, you can mark it. All my videos are marked with full copyright. So theoretically, you can't, if you take them down and post them on your site and try to pretend they're yours for any reason, and say a screencast or something.
Right.
No, it's my creation.
Yep.
The minute you create something,
you own the copyright
in your name.
Always.
So you give it away.
I put a screencast up, and some other service went and put it on their service site as theirs and didn't give me any kind of link back.
Well, that's most likely a violation, so you can fill out a DMCA complaint against
them. Then we have to realize, though, if you put it up, it is available for embed.
Yep.
It is available to be.
It should be shared. That's why we're doing it. But, you know, stripping off, you know, any sort of identifying marks and things like that.
Covering up logos. We've seen that.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah, that's you win.
They just did Don McAllister, too. So that was
silly.
Yeah, that's not going to help them. They're not winning any friends that way.
Any other questions? You have a few minutes yet? Anything else? I want to thank you all so much for coming.
Yes.
And I hope you...
Thank you.
I urge you, please, sign up to the mailing list. Because even if we break off into a sub-list for the Phoenix chapter, we'll announce it on the main list. So it's a very low-volume list right now. You won't be just buried. And you can always set it for digest. If you need help, let me know. Head over to our wiki. When you sign up for the list, I will actually add you to the wiki with full edit rights, and you can add your skills to the skills bank and everything else.
I don't think I've done that.
I know. I just like I expect. We
have terrible.
A Facebook fan page. If you live and die on Facebook, if you are a Facebook fanboy, we have a fan page over there as well. And on all of these, we announce events and meetings and stuff like that as well. So I highly urge you to check it out. Of course, we are here at PodCamp Barry Z.
Yeah. And we'll be around the rest of the weekend, so come up and chat with either of us and give ideas. You know, this is not the nice thing about these kind of projects is, you know, they get started and then we let them roll and take a life of their own. You know,
this
isn't
not about us.
No,
it's about you.
No. Because if it was about us, I got work to do back home, so I don't really need to be here doing
I don't
that.
Have anything to do.
No, you're free,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Thanks again, everybody. Have
Thanks,
a great
everybody.
Time
take care.
This has been New Media Interchange from newmediainterchange.com. Send your questions and comments to info@newmediainterchange.com or call our listener line 818-804-5049.